Good morning and welcome. Greetings in the powerful name of Jesus. It is good to see each one of you here today. Welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those who are worshiping via the live stream. Receive this from the Lord. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say the Lord is my portion, therefore I will put my hope in him. When we put our faith and our hope in Jesus, we are given mercy from the Lord. This happens continually as we trust God to take care of us. So rest in the Lord's mercy this morning. Just come and praise him for all that he has done for us and what he means to us. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, pour out your mercy on us and give us what we need for this day. We are gathered here to worship you. Help us to see you at work in our lives. Help us to grow closer to you. And in your great mercy, you gave us Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and we thank you for that. You made a way for us to be with you for eternity. So receive our praise. Receive our worship of you, Lord. Open our eyes to see you in a new way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. During this first song, we're going to take the offering, and the My Coins Count is here for the children. I just invite you to stand and join us in worship.
I'm Let us pray. So, Jesus, we do thank you that you did have the victory and you are our hope. And because of you, we have nothing to fear because we have you. You are stronger than anything else out there. We give our praise to you. We thank you for getting us through this life as it makes no sense. It's so difficult, so hard, but you are there. You pull us through this life. You show us. You guide us. And the only hope that we have is in you and through you. And you are our strength, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Where all the love of heaven.
come before you this morning, entering into your presence through worship and hoping to feel you, learn from you, and bring everything that we have to lay at your feet as an offering, that you can use us as you will. Just pray a continued blessing on this sermon series as you speak to different people through the different things that we learn about and talk about, that we could encourage each other in ways God has equipped us so that we can work together and cover all areas of your ministry to the unsaved and disciple those who want to follow you. Just pray for what you're sharing with us this morning about mercy and how we can intercede for others and discerning your will, that you would speak to individuals on which you bestow these things so that they can step forward in faith and use these gifts for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. You can pick whichever side you want to sit on. It doesn't really matter. I'll just slide to this side or that side. Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Did you guys enjoy the snow we had earlier this week?
Yeah.
Did you have off school?
Yes.
Okay. Some schools made kids do remote learning. That's not so fun when you have a snow day. So this morning we're going to talk about mercy and what that means. Has anybody ever heard of a mercy ship? Well, a mercy ship is basically a floating hospital. These ships travel around to areas where people don't have resources, as far as medical resources. They do surgeries and therapies and many other tasks. There's a lot of doctors and nurses from all over the world that come together and volunteer their time and work on these ships that are, again, floating hospitals, showing mercy to people who are less fortunate and who are in need. And there's many poor countries where people can't get medical help. So all of these people donate their time, and they go show mercy to the less fortunate. So this morning, we're also going to look at the story of the prodigal son. How many people know that story? Kind of remember. Well, the son goes to the father and says, I want my inheritance. And so the father gives it to him. He gives him his inheritance and he leaves. And he goes to another country. And when he's in that country, he spends all of the money that his father gave him. And he ends up being poor and hungry, and he's working for a farmer, and he's feeding pigs, and he longs to eat the food that the pigs are eating. And he finally says, wow, my father has provided for all his servants, and they have enough to eat, and I'm going to go back to my father and ask for his forgiveness and to work for him as a servant. So as he goes back to tell his father, "I'm sorry that I treated you this way. Forgive me." His father sees him and he comes running to him and he wraps his arms around him as he's a long way off. And what does he do? Does he make him be a servant, working for food and things like that? No, he doesn't. He restores him as a son. He has mercy on him. He puts a robe on him, puts a ring on his finger, and shows him mercy and kindness. He didn't make him work as a servant to earn his things. And God shows us mercy. He sent Jesus to us. And Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. And that is the ultimate form of mercy. And when we ask Jesus into our hearts as our Lord and our Savior, we're forgiven of our sins. And that is God showing mercy on us because we can't pay for the debt that we owe. So remember, God has shown us mercy, and we're supposed to show mercy to other people. So I'm going to pray for you, and then you can have a snack and head back to your seats. So you join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these children. Pour a blessing on them. Show them how you were merciful towards them and to us. And I just pray that you would, again, watch over them and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack. It's over here. And you may head back to your seats. There's a couple different things in there. You can decide what you guys would like. Well, good morning again. I would like to take a minute right now to pray for Candace. She's going to have surgery tomorrow, so I'd invite you to join me in praying for her and lifting her up to God. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we lift up to you Candace. I just ask that you would be with her and her family. Give them peace as surgery is approaching. Allow her to see how you were at work in this situation. Ease the pain that she has right now and ease the pain after surgery. I just pray that you would do a mighty work. Bless her and help her to have a quick recovery that points to you at work. Lord, and we ask for supernatural healing for her hips so that future surgeries do not need to happen. I just pray that you would reveal your power and your might. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. So we're going to continue our look at spiritual gifts this morning. I trust that God is showing you how to use your gifts, or maybe he's revealing to you a new gift that he wants to give you. I want to encourage you to fill out your Connect cards with your spiritual gifts on, and also answer those questions in your bulletin, and I'm going to actually give you time at the end of the message to do that. So you can be thinking about what your spiritual gifts are, and answering those questions in the bulletin. And someone turned one in last week who didn't put their name on, so if you turned one in last week, come see me and tell me that you turned one in, and I'll know whose that is. Because we'd like to take those gifts and put them in a list, that way we can look at them and say, this person is gifted in this way. They'd really fit this role because this is their giftings, and it gives us directions as a leadership team. So this morning we're going to look at mercy, intercession, and discernment. When we think of mercy, the words compassion or forgiveness are attached to it. They're woven together. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within our power to punish or harm. And compassion is sympathetic pity and concern for sufferings or misfortunes of others. They're woven together. To get a grasp of what the spiritual gift of mercy is about and how it is used, we're going to look at the nature of God and Jesus. God is perfect. He is pure. He is right. He is just to bring punishment on each one of us because of our sins. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For we have all fallen short of the glory of God." We have all sinned. We've entered this world and we have a sin nature born in us and we cannot escape it. Each one of us owes a debt that we cannot pay. It's impossible. And that's because of sin. God would be just and He would be right to condemn us to an eternity of separation from Him. But He is merciful. I'm going to read all these scripture verses really quickly. You can write them down if you would like, but I'm going to run through them very quickly. God, who is rich in mercy out of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We deserve punishment. Yet because of God being merciful, He sent Jesus to us to atone for our sins, allowing us to be with God through faith in Jesus. And the nature of Jesus, we're going to look at Matthew 14. John the Baptist spoke against Herod because he took his brother's wife as his own. John was put into prison, and he was later beheaded. And news of this was brought to Jesus. So we're going to look at Matthew 14:13-21. When Jesus heard about it, that is John's death by being beheaded, he withdrew from there by boat to a remote place to be alone. When the crowds heard this, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd, had compassion on them, and healed their sick. When evening came, the disciples approached him and said, "This place is deserted, and it is already late. Send the crowds away so that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." "They do not need to go away," Jesus told them. "You give them something to eat." "But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. They said to him, "Bring them here to me," he said. Then he commanded the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed them. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate and was satisfied. They picked up 12 baskets full of leftover pieces. Now those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Jesus was in the process of going away to a secluded spot to rest because they had been so busy dealing with people that they didn't even have time to eat, and it tells us that in Mark 6, which is a paralleling chapter. Jesus and the disciples were traveling by boat, and the crowd saw them leave by boat, and so they traveled by shore to get to Jesus. When Jesus stepped ashore, he noticed the large crowd, and he had compassion or mercy for them and on them. Jesus saw them hurting and as lost sheep without a shepherd. Jesus stopped what he was doing to help everyone in the crowd. And I'm sure Jesus was hurting at that time because John had just been beheaded and that news was just given to Jesus. So even in the midst of Jesus feeling pain, he stopped. He had mercy on the crowds. He used it as a teaching moment for his disciples to show mercy even when you're tired, when you're hungry, and when you're hurting. They fed 5,000 men, not including women and children. The spiritual gift of mercy brings the same feelings that Jesus had when he got off that boat. When he showed mercy to that crowd, he saw the people where they were at and what they truly needed. If this is your gift, you will notice people's needs. It might be a physical need that you can meet, but it will go deeper than that. True mercy will look to the people's spiritual needs, their emotional needs. You're not going to condemn someone. You will be able to sympathize with them, feeling what they feel. You will desire to bring relief for the hurt and the pain that they are feeling. Some difficulties that you may face with the gift of mercy, you tend to carry those burdens that they are feeling. You begin to get weighed down because you can't let go of them. You continue to carry them. You will want to rescue those people from the pain and the hurt that they are feeling. But this can cause a problem. If we continue to rescue someone and don't allow them to feel any hurt or pain, this can hinder their spiritual growth. As difficult as it may be, it's good to walk through difficult things, because that grows us spiritually. It grows us closer to God. And if we take that hurt and pain away from somebody too quickly, we stop them from growing closer to God. So there's a balance that needs to happen there. With this gift, there can also be a tendency to ignore sin. You're so focused on showing mercy and sympathizing with them that you don't call sin what it is, sin. See, there's a proper time and a place to call sin, sin. And that's with the help of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You don't want to ignore it, but yet you don't want to put it right in their face all of the time. God is merciful, and he calls us to be merciful. And this is something that all Christ followers can do, is show mercy. Sure, the ones with the spiritual gift of mercy will do so much more. But each one of us are called to be merciful. The gift of mercy is yours. Go and help others. Listening to them, encouraging them, sympathizing with them. But don't carry their burdens as your own. Go to God and allow Him to have those burdens. Intercession. There's a question with this spiritual gift. Is it a spiritual gift or not? Some say yes, some say no. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, yet we can see evidence of this in Scripture, and that's where intercession is. Sure, intercession is spoken of a couple times in the Bible, but the gift of intercession is kind of like the word Trinity. It's there, it's evident. First Timothy 2:1-4. First of all, then, I urge you that petitions, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone. This is a general call to prayer. For kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul instructs the church to pray with prayers and intercessions for everyone. So what's the difference between a prayer and an intercession? Prayer is a personal time between you and God. Intercession is when you walk alongside of someone in prayer as they face an issue. It's more profound than, Lord, help them to pass their test. It is carrying their burden in prayer, holding it up before God. Romans 8:34 tells us, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Colossians 4:12-13. That's Colossians 4, verses 12 and 13. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. He is always wrestling for you in his prayers so that you can stand mature and fully assured in everything God wills. For I testify about him that he works hard for you, for those in Laodicea and for those in Hierapolis. He is wrestling for those people in prayer. And that's what intercession is. Going to God and carrying those burdens someone else is feeling and lifting them up to him continually in prayer. Carrying those things to the Lord day after day. Intercession is the ability to pray for long periods of time, holding others up to the Lord. And we see Jesus model this. Many times Jesus went away and he would pray all night. Does God enable some people to pray for long periods of time easily? Yes. It's not a chore. It's not hard. It's not difficult. It's easy. They come alongside of us and they carry others' burdens to the Lord in prayer. So is this a spiritual gift? It definitely looks like it. Yet as all Christ followers, we're called to go and spend time in prayer and pray for others and intercede for them. Even if it's not a spiritual gift, it works in conjunction with other spiritual gifts, like the gift of faith and mercy. And so it is an empowerment of the Holy Spirit to build up the church. And that's what spiritual gifts are. They're the Holy Spirit empowering you to lift up the church. We usually label these people as prayer warriors, the ones who go and intercede for others. So I would classify that as a spiritual gift, even if some of the scholars have issues on both sides of that, whether it is or it isn't. One book I have in my office says it is. One book I have in my office says it's not, just because it's not definitely listed in one of those gifts. But the evidence of it is there, that the Holy Spirit empowers some to go and to intercede and to lift others those burdens up to God in prayer in a special way. So, are you burdened in your heart and your soul to go and to wrestle for other people in prayer? Is this something that God puts on your heart? If it is, then intercession is probably your gift. So how can we grow that gift? First of all, spend time in prayer. Asking God to reveal those things, those issues, those people that need to be prayed for in an intercessory way. You can join a prayer group. Ask people who have been doing this longer than you have questions. Learn from them. Doesn't mean it will be the same as what they do, but we can learn, we can grow, we can share what God is placing on our hearts, those burdens, those people that we need to go and intercede for. And as we learn and we grow, we can share with the entire church those things that we're burdened to pray for. Because when we do that, we build up the body of Christ. When we share those things that we are wrestling for in prayer, everyone is built up. So be committed. So if God puts a burden on your heart to pray for someone, be committed. Wrestle for them in prayer. Because this builds up the church. The gift of discernment, or as 1 Corinthians says, the distinguishing between spirits. Discernment is the ability from the Holy Spirit to know if something is from God, Satan, or man. To know spiritual sources, this is why this gift is linked with tongues and prophecy. It's so we can know that if something is from God and is true, or if it's from the enemy and is false. Acts 16, verses 16 and 18. Once as we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune-telling. As she followed Paul and us, she cried out, "These men who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation are the servants of the Most High God." She did this for many days. Paul was greatly annoyed. Turning to the spirit, he said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out right away. Paul discerned that this girl that was following them had an evil spirit in her, and he cast it out. Acts 5, 1 to 4. A man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. However, he kept back part of the proceeds with his wife's knowledge and brought a portion of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Ananias, Peter asked, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land? Wasn't it yours while you possessed it, and after it was sold, wasn't it at your disposal? Why is it that you planned this thing in your heart and you have not lied to people but to God?" A couple verses right before verse 1, Barnabas sells a field and he gives the money to the apostles to use for everyone in the community to meet needs that would arise. Ananias does the same thing, but he keeps back some of the money and he claims that the total is what he sold the field for. Paul discerns that there is an evil motive in Ananias' heart. He says, "Why has Satan filled your heart?" The Holy Spirit allowed Paul to discern his motive. There's a second gift at work here, the gift of knowledge, revealing what was actually done, that he kept some of the money aside, but the gift of discernment revealed the motive of his heart. And the gift of discernment can show up in many ways. Teresa and I went away for our anniversary, and as we walked through this town, we passed a store on the opposite side of the street, and Teresa commented, "That store feels evil." It wasn't by looking at it. There was this feeling that that was evil. She could feel it. Does that mean she has the gift of discernment? Maybe. She's very wise, and so she might have the gift of discernment. The Holy Spirit can warn any Christ follower to stay away from something that is under the enemy's control. But when someone is speaking to you, do you get an uneasy feeling? Not because they're bad at speaking, but you feel it in your heart and your soul that something that they're saying is not right, that there's something off, something is wrong. And I think at every Christian, at times, the Holy Spirit will give them that discernment to say, man, something's just wrong, something is off. I was at an event worshiping God, and a new speaker came forward, and man, that just went away. I was like, is it myself? Is it my attitude? What's going on? Maybe it was their style. I don't know, but it was like that praise and worship in the Spirit just went away, and it's like, what's going on here? It makes us ask questions. Is there more happening here? When we have the gift of discernment, God will reveal those things to you. And you have to ask yourself, when you experience that, you feel that, God, is this from you? Are you trying to show me that something's wrong here, that something's off, that I need to speak up? Or are you showing me that this is right, and that this is good, and this is from you? Because that's the hard part with this gift, to be able to stand up and go and say, this is not from God. Whew, that'd be difficult to do. Stand up in church and say, wait a minute, something's wrong here. This is not from God. That'd be very tough. And then you have that real deep, heavy spiritual stuff. Is God showing you that someone is being harassed, controlled, or possessed by a demon? That's part of the gift of discernment. Just like Paul experienced that. That's where the supernatural hits reality with the gift of discernment. And to our minds, that's kind of a scary thing to think about. With this gift of discernment, we need to be tuned into the Holy Spirit. Is he revealing something to us? Is it from God? Is it good? Is it appropriate? Can we affirm it? Should it continue? Or is it from the enemy and it has to stop? And that's where this is connected heavily with the gift of tongues and prophecy. If someone's speaking in tongues and it's not from God, we have to stand up and make it known. I mean, that's difficult. But God calls us to obedience, to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And that's why this gift of discernment must be in the church. It's a safeguard. It safeguards us from the enemy sneakily putting things in that are not from God. And that's why it has to accompany tongues and prophecy and miracles and healings, because the enemy loves to counterfeit what God is doing, make it look like God, and he twists it. Things seem like they're good, but on a spiritual level, they're not. If you go online and you look at some of the weird things that are going on in some churches that claim to be from God, really makes you question if they are. There's a lot of strange things happening out there in some churches. And that's where we need to press into the Holy Spirit and use the gift of discernment. Is this from you, God? Is this weird thing that's going on from you? Or is it counterfeit and from the enemy? If God reveals things to you, don't chalk it up to, boy, that was a strange thought. I wonder where that came from. Press into God. Ask Him to confirm what that thought said to you. Ask Him to reveal to you, God, was that you telling me that this is not from you? The gifts we looked at today, we're supposed to use them, practice them, grow them, put them into action. We have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. Yes, each part of these gifts play a role in every Christ follower's life. But when the Holy Spirit gifts us with these gifts, that is empowered beyond what each Christian is supposed to do. So if you have the gift of mercy, show mercy. If intercession, go and wrestle for people in prayer. If you're awake in the middle of the night and someone comes to your mind, wrestle for them in prayer. If it's discernment, speak up when something doesn't seem right. So I'm going to give you 2 minutes to fill out a Connect card, and you can do that right now because I'm going to keep talking. You can take a Connect card, put your name on it, put your spiritual gifts on it, and those couple questions in your bulletin, I'd encourage you to fill them out. If you filled one out already, you can just sit back and relax. If you don't know what your gifts are, write that down, because we would love to work with you, to help you press into God and seek Him to reveal what your gifts are. Take time to press into God and ask Him to reveal new things. Things that He wants to do through you. If your gifts are mercy, intercession, or discernment, again, put them into action. Be obedient even when it is difficult. If you need help finding ways to use your gifts, talk to us as a leadership team. We can look into some options and explore opportunities for you to put your gifts into action. If you say the Connect card is not enough room for me to write on, you can take a piece of paper, your bulletin, write on it, write your name on it, and put it in one of the boxes. Give you just a little bit of time yet, and then we'll close in prayer. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you have given us gifts to build up your church. Help us each day to use those gifts that you have given us. Teach us new ways to put them into action. Help us to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, ready to take that step of faith and do your will, Lord. Lord, make every one of your gifts evident in this church to bring honor and glory to you and to your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So after the service, you can put your your cards in the boxes. There's one at the back of the sanctuary, at the top of the steps, and there's one in the entryway out by the carport. You can just drop them in the box, and I'll pick them up tomorrow. So if God is asking you to share on March 10th, please indicate that on your card. If God is nudging you to share how you're using your gifts and how you're putting them into action, please indicate that on your card as well. Or talk to myself or Derek Weaver. That way we can make note of that. Because when we share what God is doing in our lives and how we're working for Him and following Him, it strengthens the rest of us. It encourages everyone. It builds up the body of Christ. And that's the reason that we're looking at these spiritual gifts. So we take them and we put them into action and do what God wants us to do to build up the church, the body of Christ. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song.
So I picked an exciting song to close to get you guys excited and spring you into action. So you guys can join us. You can stand and join us in singing this last song.
There's a city amid the stars, we are told, where they know not a sorrow or care. And the gates are of pearl, and the streets are of gold, and the building exceedingly fair. Let us pray for each other, not faint by the way, in this sad world of sorrow and care. For that home is so bright and is almost in sight, and I trust in my heart you'll go there. Brother dear, never fear, we shall triumph at last, if we trust in the word he has given. When our trials and toils and our weepings are past, we shall meet in that home up in heaven. Let us pray.
So how many of you caught that I said Paul instead of Peter when I was talking about Acts chapter 5? If you did, good. That means you're paying attention. I have one announcement. Lenten lunches have started. I want to encourage you to attend if possible. They're Thursdays at noon. There's a note in your bulletin about that. Will you stand for the parting benediction? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. God bless you. Use the gifts that God has given you. You're dismissed.